Amen. As I hear all the coughing around, we got to get this smoke out of here. I think it's affecting all of us. I can't hardly, I'm hacking myself, and I was listening to all of you, and I thought, man, it's just the smoke in the air. It is good to see you tonight. Glad that you're here, hacking or not. Glad that you're here. And it's great to see Miss Bodie here, and Brother Steve, and continue to pray for Brother Steve, too. He's going back and forth to Casper, taking treatments and working and being all things to all men, pretty much. So just keep praying for him. And anyways, good to see everybody tonight. Well, let's take our Bibles to Matthew 6, Matthew chapter number 6. We're continuing through our study of the Lord's model prayer here. And going to get right into it, the next section of the prayer that we are going to cover here. So Matthew 6, and we'll look at, we'll start in verse number 9. Verse number 9. Where the Bible says, and maybe you have these verses memorized, so we're taking it and we're understanding that the Lord here is giving us a model prayer. He's given us elements that should be in our prayer. And sometimes these things are not things we normally think about when we pray, and that's really a shame because this is where Jesus teaches us how to pray. And so we are right in the middle of verse 10 or at the end of verse 10 tonight, but let's start in verse 9 where the Bible says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So now we're going to move on to our next element in prayer. We've talked about, again, the mode of our prayer, right? The motive of our prayer, the things that God cares about is not really how we sound or how ornate our prayer is or how long it is or short. It is that we are to pray to Him in secret. We are to lift up our request to Him. He is the audience of our prayer. And we've noticed this at the beginning of the Lord's model prayer, that it's so far all about the Lord, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And tonight, thy will be done. Thy will be done in on earth as it is in heaven. So just remember, before we get there, understand we've just in the beginning statements that Jesus has made, he's given the Lord's position as being in heaven, which tells us just by contrast, we are not. So we're praying upward. We're praying to Him who's sitting on the throne. But not only that, we call Him our Father because He is our Father. And He desires that we come and pray to Him. So He's not, He wants us to enter boldly into the throne room and pray at times to just like a Heavenly Father, climb up in His lap and share with Him our heart and know that He loves us and wants us to bring those needs to Him. Now, the Lord has, and we've noticed this, it's about His kingdom. We ought to pray with His kingdom in mind. We looked at that last week. Now, tonight, we pray about the Lord's will. Think about these words. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we're going to talk about the Lord's will tonight. A man came into work, and he had been on a diet for a while. And he comes into work, and he's got a box of donuts with him. He comes in, puts the donuts down, and his coworkers say, "Hey, thought you were on a diet. What's going on? Why do you have these donuts with you?" And he said, "Well, I was on my way to work this morning and there was the donut shop. And so I just prayed and I said, Lord, if it be your will that I have a donut today, there'll just be a parking spot right in front of the donut shop." He said, on the eighth time around the building, there it was. And so he took it, got the donuts. Must have been the Lord's will, right? Don't we sometimes pray like that? I mean, we pray and we know before we even start praying, perhaps, this isn't exactly what God wants, this is what I want. And if I just pray and I just keep circling the building, eventually the spot's going to open up and I'm going to get what I want, but is it really what God wants? And so when we're praying, we usually come to God with a list of items that we want to see done. And by the way, nothing wrong with bringing those requests to God. He tells us in the scriptures to pray to Him. It's really actually a commandment that, you know, we're not supposed to worry. Well, what do I do, Pastor, if I can't worry? Well, you pray, right? He tells us, bring the supplications, bring the prayer requests. But But again, I think we have to understand all of these things need to be filtered through the Lord's will, all right? Through the Lord's will. And so sometimes our prayers are similar to that, and that we're just trying to get our will done, and we're going to get God to agree with us, and somehow or another, we're going to make it seem as if, oh no, God worked it all out that I was able to do that. And I promise you, we've all done that a number of times, where we've circled the donut shop until finally we were able to park and do what we wanted to do. But I want to remind you that the Lord's we've kind of looked at the position in prayer, right? He's our Father, we're on earth. We've looked at the urgency of prayer, thy kingdom come. Now we're really going to look at the mindset of prayer, which is thy will be done. The idea that we would be praying and our main concern would be, God, that everything I'm asking for be in your will. And you know this, I have no right to ask anything that would delay God's kingdom. I have no right to ask anything at all that would interrupt his perfect will. So our prayers should be filtered through God's will. You say, well, I don't always know what God's will is. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. So we're going to talk about that. When you don't know what his will is, how do we know how to pray? Well, guess what? The Bible even gives us answers for that. Anyone been in a situation where you just didn't know what God's will was and you didn't even know how to pray? Anyone? A few of us? Okay. God has an answer for that. We're going to look at that. But every prayer that we pray, though, of course, needs to be understood that God is who he is, we are who we are, and that he has a will, and his will has to supersede our will. His will has to be in front and above our will. You say, why is that? Well, let me give you a couple of points about, and there's really 3 points, and I'm going to do some preaching. That's a little different, right? Normally, you do your points in the preaching, but I just want to give you these right up front. Number one, God is supreme. You need to understand this. God is supreme above all the creation, and he can do anything that he wants. No, really. God is supreme of all the creation, and he can do anything that he wants. Psalm 135, verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and the seas and all deep places. So let me just, and we're going to talk about this a little bit because we're going to look at another passage in a moment, but when God decides to do something, guess what? He has every right to do that. And if we don't agree with what God does, it matters nothing, right? It doesn't matter if Jeremy Gilbert agrees with what God is doing or the way he's doing something. No, God is supreme above all of the universe. Everything that is a creation of his. He literally owns all of those things, including us, and he can do anything that he wants, anything. I like to use this as an example, but it's an imperfect example because I didn't really create my desk. But years ago, I decided I wanted to build a desk for my office as a pastor. And it's not the one that's in my office. I left my handmade desk in Texas, and I still cry about it every now and then. But anyway, I decided I want to build my own desk. And so I took, I took rough lumber and run it through all the planers and saws, and I cut it all up, made this just beautiful desk. You know, one of the reasons I didn't bring it is because it had a big Texas star right on the front. I didn't know how well that'd go over. And so I left it where it was, you know. But anyway, that's my desk. I made it. I took rough timber and I made that desk, and it was beautiful. It was made out of a knotty alder, so it's real pretty, nice, warm wood. It even had a This is why I cry about it a little bit. It even had marks on it from where my kids were in my office, and they had a marker and they got off the paper. And then there's that mark on the desk. It didn't make me mad. It just made me realize I have children. And then when I'd be studying later on, I'd see that mark on my perfectly, sanded desk. I'd be like, yep, there they are, those kids again. Let me tell you this. I could do whatever I wanted to with that desk, right? I could sell it in a garage sale. I could destroy it. I could use it. I could restain it. I could refinish it. I could take it apart and make something else with it. Why? Because I owned it. It was mine. You know, in so much bigger of a way, God owns and created everything that we see and that is, and that includes us. And so he can do anything that he wants to do, and it really doesn't matter what my opinion is on the subject. He can do anything that he wants to do. But here's the, because I know what you're all thinking, so let me give you point two. Because this is really important. Everything that God does is right. Okay? You need to understand this because we're going to be praying in God's will. So let's just get our mind right. God can do anything that he wants, But anything God does is right. By definition, if he does it, it's right. We don't look at what God does and say, well, was that right or wrong? No, he's the definition of righteousness. So anything that he does is, by definition, right. In fact, think about this verse out of 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31, where David writes this. And if you look at the context of this verse, this is a praise, a song of praise that David wrote while after he was delivered from Saul. And so after he's been, you know, running from Saul for all these, however many weeks or months he was doing that, literally at times starving, many times cold, many times left for, hiding in some cave somewhere, not a great time in his life. He writes this praise to God for delivering him out of that. And here's what David said: as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Now listen, if you could just go talk to David, I promise you, if you said, hey, David, would you have done any of that different, David? David, I mean, you were anointed king. Saul was the kingdom was rent from him. And Samuel came and he anointed you king. If you could go back to that day that he poured that oil on your head and anointed you king, would you do anything different from that moment forward than God did? You know what? We would have done a lot of things different. I mean, surely we wouldn't have chose that, well, the previous king is going to chase me around and try to kill me for a few years first, because that's just, you know, a little fun time of our life. No, we would have skipped that part altogether. We would have just gone straight to the kingdom, wouldn't we? I mean, wouldn't we? I mean, maybe you're better than me. I would have just said, Lord, just let me be the king. I'm ready to be the king already. But here's what David said. Even after all that happened, he said, no, everything that God did was right. He brought me down the path that he brought me. It wasn't the one that I would have chosen, but his way is always right. So before we even start praying, can we understand this? God can do anything he wants to do, and everything that God does is always right. So then point three, anything that is contrary to the will of God then is sin. Okay, real logical here, right? God can do anything he wants. Anything that God does is right. So anything that is contrary to the will of God is wrong. By definition, it's sin. So sin is something that imposes or contrasts or goes against God's will. So if we think about it that way, how could we pray any other way but thy will be done? You know? Turn to Isaiah 14. So just hold your place here in Matthew. Or actually, I think you can remember these words, thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. So you may not even have to come back to Matthew chapter 6. So just go over to Isaiah 14. And I want to show you this. This is an account. Where is Isaiah? There it is. It's an account of Satan's sin. And I want you to see what the, you know, of course, Satan's sin was, we say, was pride, for sure. But notice in Isaiah 14 and in verse number 12, notice what the Bible says here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Now, I want you to note something here. It's good as you go through your Bible, you note some things that are repeated. I want you to notice how many times Satan says, I will, here, okay? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see what Satan's problem was? It wasn't thy will, it was I will. And so I think it's important that we understand that God can do anything. What God does is right. And anything contrary to God's will is sin. And it's shown to us in the story of Lucifer and his falling. And here's what we need to understand. And I want to get to this because we're going to talk about our personal prayer life here in just a moment. And so we need to understand this. God has given us, even though we know he can do anything he wants, even though we know everything that he does is right, and even though that we know everything that is contrary to his will is sin, guess what? He still, with all that being true, gave you and I a free will. We still have the ability to choose and do what we want. You know, really, you can do anything you want. People have said this to me, and, hey, Pastor, can I do this? And they'll have some big question. I'll say, well, you can do anything you want. And I know that's not what they're asking, right? They're asking, is it okay? But I'll tell them, no, let's be clear. You can do anything you want. You can believe anything you want. You can go anywhere you want. You can do anything you want. That's because God's given you a free will. But you need to understand, God gave Satan a free will. No, I mean, even the angels weren't robots, right? He chose to fall, and apparently a third of them chose to fall right along with them. So we need to make sure, because we have a will, and our will, of course, born into sin, our will typically is adverse or opposite of God's will. And so we've got to be careful in our prayer life that we understand that old man that's in us wants some things, and those things that we want don't always line up with what God wants. I mean, Lucifer found that out. Okay, Satan thinks, he thinks, I mean, as you read those verses, he's like, oh no, I'm going to go up to the clouds. I'm going to be like the Most High. And he thinks it's all going to work out real good, but it didn't work out real good. He didn't ascend up and be like God. You know what he did? He got thrown out. Sometimes, you know, there's like that verse, I don't know where it is, somewhere it says something like this, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. It seems like I've heard that somewhere. But at the end thereof are the ways of death. Right, we think, okay, our way is the right way. Of course, we know, so we always think we're right. No, if you thought you were wrong, you would do something else. So we always think we're right, and we think our way is the right way, so it's the way that's going to have the good outcomes, but God can see much further down the road than we can. And so many times our will, even though maybe there's two sets of circumstances, and maybe there's one that's, you know, and maybe we're not even talking about sin and not sin, we're just talking about trying to follow the Lord. I'm just telling you, His way is always the right way, always. And so we need to understand that if we follow our will, we pray for our will, we're going to find ourselves against the Lord many times, and we're not going to get the results that we want. In fact, we're living the result. I'm really kind of tired of hearing this, and I don't mean it to sound rude, but I hear all the time, well, if God was real, why would this world be like it is? You know, I hear it all the time. We're not living in the world God, we are living in the world God created. We're living in the world God created, and then we tainted by sin. We are living the results of us living apart from God's will. That's what we're living. That's the results. Our situation here on earth is the way it is, with all the death and suffering and all of that. It's that way because somewhere along the line, back in Genesis chapter number 3, we got off the path that God had for us. Had we never sinned, these circumstances wouldn't be this way, because this is not how God created it. And so the results of us going apart from God's will are devastating. And so when we get to our knees in prayer, or we're praying to God about some issue of life, we're praying for some direction, we're asking God and seeking His face about something, listen, we need to understand He can do anything He wants. Everything that He does is right. And anything against His will is sin and has bad consequences. So how do we pray in God's will? There's a couple ways. First of all, we need to understand this, and maybe this is the biggest one. We need to pray under, and I'm just calling it this. I don't know if this is the right term, but we need to pray under God's universal will, calling it His universal will. Okay, what I mean by that is there are, we tend to make the will of God so hard to understand. If I could just know the will of God, right? It's not that hard to understand. In fact, we have it written for us in 66 books that have been preserved and given to us in our language so that we can clearly understand what God's will is. That's the universal will I'm talking about, that God has a will for every human being, and it's clearly written for us in His Word. God's will, understand, God doesn't want His will to be a mystery to us. I think sometimes that you know, people get in a room and they really want to talk about that, like as if God is a mystery, and as if truth is a mystery, and as if all these things that we're dealing with in life is a mystery. Meanwhile, it's not a mystery. It's in God's Word. You know, I mean, if you ever talk to someone that just didn't ever want to get settled on an issue because they like to, what do we call it, beat the dead horse or whatever. They like to just go back and forth, and they just like to debate and argue. Meanwhile, the Bible is always really pretty clear about all those things, and it just needs to get to a point where we can just settle some things in our life, because God's will is not supposed to be a mystery. God is not the author of confusion. He gave us His Word not so we would be confused, but so He would be revealed to us, so that His Word and His ways would be revealed to us. I mean, just think of how badly it reflects on the character of God to say, well, He gave us this book, but he hasn't given us any way to understand it, and then we're going to be judged by it. What if I gave my kids a Spanish book of rules, and I said, hey, you better follow these rules. If you don't, at the end of the day, you're all getting a whooping. I'd be a pretty bad dad, wouldn't I? Unless I'm like on the ease, I could speak Spanish. But for my kids, that'd be a pretty horrible thing to do. At the end of the day, okay, come on, none of y'all did follow the instructions, so you're all going to get whooped now. But we act as if that's what God did. He gave us something we can't understand. And unless you're smart enough, or unless you debate it long enough, you're never going to arrive there, and so you're just going to get judged by it anyway. That's not what God did. He gave us a book. It's very clear. It's black and white. And His will is written for us in the Word. So you say, how do I know God's will? Well, firstly, we got to read His Word. So many people that come to me and say, hey, I just can't figure out God's will. I'll ask them some simple questions about the will of God we know and say, are you doing this thing? Well, no, I'm not doing it. Like, are you reading your Bible? Do you know it's God's will that you read your Bible? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're supposed to study His Word. So if you're not reading your Bible, okay, there's one. Okay, well, are you praying? Well, been a little down, I'm not praying. Well, did you know the Bible says pray without ceasing? That's an easy one. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Do you know it says that? Okay, how do you expect to know whatever you think God's will is if you're not doing those very simple things that you know are His will? We know this, God's will is for every person to be saved. Every person. It's God's will that He be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that every person be saved. When someone rejects Christ and dies and goes to hell, God did not send them to hell, because that was not His will. His will was that they accept Him and be saved. They've rejected God's will. That's what the Bible teaches. He wants everyone to be saved. It's God's will that every Christian should live a holy life and be separated from the world. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's God's will that we be separated from the world. It's God's will that we be thankful. Do you know that? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will that we be thankful. It's God's will that we live for Him. 1 Peter 2:15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Do you know this? Sometimes it's the will of God that we endure suffering. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I could go on and on and on. The Bible is full of the will of God. It's full of the will of God for me, and it's full of the will of God for you. So many times we skip over God's known will, and we stir about and wrestle with whatever we think God's specific will, because there's kind of His universal will and then what I'm going to call His specific will. So His specific will is, okay, what does He want out of my life? Where does he want? Does he want me in Gillette, Wyoming? That was his specific will for me, apparently. Here I am. So how do I come to that understanding? Well, do you know this? You never get there until you're doing the general will of God, until you're doing the universal will of God. So we can't sit there and ask God, God, would you please reveal to me all the secrets of the universe in my future, but yet we're not reading our Bible, we're not praying, we're not abstaining from sin, we're not separated from the world, we're not coming to church, we're not thankful, we're not, you know, I can go on and on and on about all those things that are His will. If we're not doing those, why would He give us more? Does that make any sense to y'all? You know, that's why James worded it this way. Sometimes we come to God and we ask amiss. You know what James is talking about there? He's talking about wisdom, asking for wisdom in his little epistle there. Well, why wouldn't God give us what we ask for? Well, sometimes we ask amiss. We got the, you know, you might say it like this, we got the cart before the horse. But John tells us, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I don't mean to bring up, you know, counseling and things, but I think it's helpful that we have had a lot of people that come and they really are, they're searching. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's good when we're searching for the Lord's will and they're searching, but instead of us taking them down some mystical path to find God's will, we just tell them, hey, are you in the Bible? And they go, well, that's not what I came to hear. Well, are you praying? Well, I didn't come to hear about my prayer life. I want to know God's will. And somewhere along there, I say, well, this counseling session's free. That was a joke. I don't charge. You know, it's not like, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And if you don't do those simple things, then it's just like, how do you expect to be in fellowship with Him in such a way that you'd know what He wants you to do? That's where it comes from. So when we pray, thy will be done, understand this, we know much of it. We know much of what God wants out of us. And if we don't, it's because we haven't been in His Word. So we're to pray, and we're to pray for that universal will. God, help me. Help me to be faithful to Your Word. I've prayed before that God would help me to pray. You know what? I pray pretty often, God, help me to pray. And you know, here's about how it goes. I'll start praying. And as I'm praying, boy, I get distracted. And then I'm like, I don't even know if my words are making any sense because I'm thinking about this other thing that's going on or whatever. And I'll have to stop and I'll say, God, I need Your help right now, even just to pray. I need Your help. I need to focus on this prayer I'm trying to pray here. And I can't focus on, I got too much in my mind. Lord, help me to clear off a spot here. And just sometimes I got to pray to have help to pray. Pray, ask God, hey, help me to be faithful to church. Help me to be faithful to be a thankful person. Help me to accomplish those things that are Your will for my life. Thy will be done. You can't hardly pray, thy will be done, and disobey the known will of God. How are you going to pray that? How are you going to pray, thy will be done, and reveal to me Your will, and Lord, what will You have me to do? And you're not doing the things you already know you're supposed to do. See, it really does turn into like a back to basics thing. So much of the Scripture does. So we pray for God's, what I'm calling, and I don't know if it's the right word, but universal will, His written will, His known will. And we know a bunch of it. Then we need to pray under God's personal will. Or we might say specific will, okay? God does have a plan for all of our lives. He has a path down which we are to walk. We have a free will, I believe, to choose some of that path as He directs. But He does have a will for our life, and He has a desire that what He would like to see us do and where we go and how we use our lives for Him. So the question is then, and this is really the question we get so often, how do I know what God expects of me? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to give you a few verses, but it's this. It's by having a close, personal relationship with Him in His Word, through His Spirit, and through prayer. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. I mean, the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, you need wisdom, ask God. It says, he giveth it to all men liberally. That means this, he likes to give it. Liberally means, and I know we're not liberals in here, right? There's really two places in the Bible where liberality is encouraged, and it's giving. We're to be givers, liberal givers. And then the second one is that he's going to give us wisdom liberally. I mean, and it says, and he abradeth not. You know what that word abradeth not means? You ever come to God and it's like the 3,972nd time that you've asked for forgiveness for that thing? Or have you ever come to God and it seems like, it just seems like you've been there before? Okay, this is how we picture it. God going, oh boy, here he comes again. I can't believe here you are again. You got yourself, you know. No, he abradeth not. That means he doesn't scold you for coming to ask for help ever. He abradeth not. You come to God asking for wisdom. He says, come here, I'll give you some. I got lots of it to give. But listen, how am I going to hear the Spirit? How is the Word going to speak to my heart? Well, I've got to be under that general will of God. If I'm letting sin rule in my life, then I'm quenching and I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. How am I going to hear the Holy Spirit? How is it that God taps on someone's heart and says, hey, I think I want you to do this, and they somehow know it? It's because they're living in such a manner that they have a close relationship with God, and they're in His Word, and they're in His Spirit, and they're listening to Him closely, and they're asking for wisdom, and He's giving it liberally. Philippians 4 says that we should, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. And that's a wonderful thing that the Lord tells us to do. But then he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm not real smart, but I understand this. If it says it passes understanding, that means I'm not going to be able to understand it. Well, how did you know that you were supposed to go to Gillette, Wyoming? I didn't know this place existed before I got a phone call. How did you know? Well, it passeth all understanding. I really can't tell you, but I knew. I knew. And yes, I've got scripture that the Lord has given me. I've got, there were things he was doing in my life to guide me all along the way. But I'm just telling you, it's not that there are some people that have some mystical or magical ability to understand God's will. It's much simpler than that. It's being in close communion with God and listening to His Spirit because we are obeying the things we know that He wants us to do. And so we can hear Him. Turn to John chapter 16. I'll show you a verse over here, John chapter number 16. Sometimes I hear, well, I just can't hear the Lord. I can't hear the Spirit. I don't know what He's saying to me. And again, my question is always, well, how's your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? How's your church attendance? What are you filling your mind with from Monday through Saturday? That's a good one. If you're filling your mind with garbage from Monday through Saturday, you really think you're going to hear the Holy Spirit's will? No, you know what? He's not always in the storm or the fire or the wind. He's in the still, small voice. You know, I know this. If I start whispering, some of you are going to... I'm not going to do that. Biden did a couple speeches where he started whispering. It got real weird, right? Not going to do that. And now they're going to... It's all recorded. So enjoy this sermon, feds. Whatever. I'm not going to start whispering. But if I did, you know what you'd have to do? If I started whispering, you'd have to lean in. Wait, hold on, I can't hear you. Come here, a little closer. And if you're deaf like me, you got to get in real close. You know, if you want to hear from God, you got to lean in close. You can't put them at arm's length Monday through Saturday and expect to hear from them on Sunday. You can't put them at arm's length 9 times out of 10 in your life, but then you have a problem and all of a sudden he's going to share all this wisdom with you. You've cut off the flow, you know? And so again, how do we hear from him? Well, we got to lean in close. Look at what John 16 and verse number 13 says. It says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." I point out this verse because I want you to understand this. If you're not hearing from the Lord, it's not the Lord's fault. Look at what it says in this verse. When the Spirit has come, he will, not might, no, he will guide you into all truth. He will do that. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. I promise you this, God is doing his job of guiding and directing and showing and leading. It's that sometimes we're too far from him or too distracted by all the things in the world to hear what he's trying to tell us. Back in 2005, and I know this is an old article, but there's an old article from 2005. If I was a better preacher, I would have dug up a newer article, but I did. Old article here. But this guy, Elwood Norris, he created, engineered a machine to create hypersonic sound waves. Really cool technology. Basically, they could take this, I don't know what you call it, instrument, and they could point this instrument and shoot sound waves like a laser beam. And so I could point one at Brother Einar here, and Miss Janet would not be able to hear. But I could tell you a secret from about 150 yards away. And because he had somehow or another, the sound waves traveled like a laser. So it's very directional. And nowadays, I think they use the technology even to weaponize sound on, especially like ships and stuff. They can shoot a sound wave right at a group of pirates or something like that. You can read about that if you have that much free time. But anyway, if that thing's pointed at you, you can hear it. But if you step out of the way just a foot or two, you can't hear it. That's very much how the Spirit is. That's very much how the Lord talks to us. No, John tells us if I'm in the light as he is in the light, right? But you know what happens if you step out of the light? Well, your fellowship. You stepped out of fellowship. You stepped out of communication. And so it's important that we be right in the beam, right in that place where we're going to hear from the Holy Spirit and his message is clear. I'm just saying this. If you are praying for and doing God's universal written will, the thing, and you say, well, I don't know what all he wants us to do. Just do the things you know that he wants you to do. Did you know that? Someone's newly saved. Guess what? They don't know all the things they're supposed to do. Been saved 5 years. You might not even know all the things you're supposed to do. But if you do the things that you know you're supposed to do, that God wants you to do, that you know are his will, I promise you, he starts revealing to you the other things through his word and through his spirit. It's funny, a new Christian all of a sudden will, you know, they'll start dropping off the cuss words out of their language. And no one has to tell them. No one has to be like, hey, those aren't really appropriate anymore. You know what happens? The Holy Spirit just like, hey, ding, 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 ding. Maybe we won't use that one again, right? And just stuff like that. The Lord, as we grow, he starts to really define for us that will. And then the more we stay in his will and do his will, I promise you this, he will lead you in his specific will. No, it says in Psalm 37, 35, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. That verse really means, and I explained this a couple weeks ago, it doesn't mean that he'll give us everything we want. It means he puts desires in our heart. We start wanting what he wants. We start desiring his will And the things that we pray for all of a sudden are the things he wants us to pray for because they're his will. How does that happen? Well, it says, delight thyself in the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord. It says, do good. It says, then shalt thou dwell in the land. It's telling us we do these things. He does those things. So then we pray for God's will. When we pray for God's will, we're not praying for our own desires. We're praying for his perfect desires to become our desires. When we pray, thy will be done, we're really praying for his will, for our will rather to become his will. His will to become our will. Got to be careful. So there's a lot to the will of God, and I think that we could study it. But for our purposes, I believe that if we'll focus on the things God wants. And can we just say this? Wouldn't it keep us busy enough to just do the things we know we're supposed to do? You know, we're wondering about that thing that's like out there in outer space. We don't have any time for that, right? Just do the things that you know he wants you to do. I promise you'll be busy enough cleaning up some stuff just right there. And as we do those things and we pray thy will be done and we act thy will be done, we pray thy will be done, I'm telling you, he will lead, he will guide, he will direct. Now, I'm going to close with this. Let's go to Romans 8 real quick. Romans chapter number 8. There'll be times when you're walking with the Lord. You're doing the things that you know that you're supposed to be doing. And this is in context here. The scriptures here in Romans 8 is someone who's walking by the Spirit. Okay, so if you read the first 20 verses or so, what you're going to see is this is a person who's walking of the Spirit, not of the flesh. There's a battle going on. We see that battle happening in the first several verses, right? Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, spiritually minded is life and peace. So that's the battle he's talking about. So we're talking about someone who is living they're living for the Lord. And let's just say it like this. The things that they know they're supposed to do, they're doing those things. Or they're attempting, they're trying. And when they mess up, guess what? It's God's will that we what? Because we can't be perfect. So when we mess up, it's God's will that we ask for forgiveness. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. So that's the person we're talking about. We're not talking about the person that's backslidden away from the Lord, pushing him away. We're talking about the person that's leaning in close. Okay? And there comes some times in our life when we're leaning in close, and we don't know what God's will is. We come to a situation maybe. And we don't know the direction. We don't know what he wants us to do. And we know this. These verses are all connected. It's so good. Look down to verse 28. We love verse 28, don't we? All things work together for good. We love that. But hold on, did you know that verse is in the context of someone praying for God's will when they didn't know what God's will was? Go back to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Isn't it good that Paul, the apostle, that wrote most of the New Testament, had times in his life where he said, we don't know what to pray for here. I mean, we're in the Spirit. We're following God. We're leaning in close. But this thing here, not sure. He says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You say, what do those sound like? I would do it for you, but they can't be uttered. I don't know. But this is a person coming to God. They're leaning in close. They're following the Spirit. They're doing the things they know to be doing. And they're like, I don't know what your will is, Lord. I don't know how to pray. You know what it says there? It says when we pray in that moment, the Spirit maketh intercession. And he takes that confused prayer from that believer. And he intercedes for us up to the Father with groanings that cannot be uttered. And let's look at the result, verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Okay, God then understands What the Spirit, we can't even utter these things, but they go up and God understands what is being said because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the what? Will of God. And we know all things work together for good. I'm just saying like this. If you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're leaning in close, and you're following the Holy Spirit, and you're praying that thy will be done, and you're asking God to help you to understand his known will so you can be more obedient there. And when you mess up, you're asking for forgiveness, and you're praying, God, reveal to me what you want me to do and how you want me to use you. And you feel that leadership all along the way. You may get to points in life where you say, this is a Y in the road or a fork in the road, and I really don't know what to do here, God. I'm not really sure how to pray. Thy will be done. Can I tell you this? The Spirit brings up that prayer. God hears that prayer. He answers that prayer. And here's the result. All things work together for good. Apparently, I don't even always have to know God's will. Apparently, if I'm in that place of my life where I'm doing his known will and I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit, even the things that I don't even know how to pray, he handles that for me too. And it all works out for good. So we got to be praying in God's will. So many times our prayers aren't answered because we're not praying in God's will. We haven't even considered God's will, or we've been away from God so long we wouldn't know God's will if we did read it in a book. So my question is this. When you go to pray tonight, when you go to pray tomorrow, are you considering God's will? Are you being obedient to God's will that he already knows? I'm just telling you, you'll always struggle with what does he want for me over there if you're not doing what he wants you to do right here. Thy will be done. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word, the truth in it. Help us, Lord, as we try to learn to pray here through the teaching that you have for us. And Lord, I believe we've made your will far too complicated. Maybe we've left it up to what we might consider the more spiritual to know your will, but really the truth is every believer can know your will. Every believer can follow your will. It's written down for us, God. I pray you'd help us to find those areas in life where we know we're not doing what we need to be doing and correct that. And Lord, that we would pray for your will to be done, that we'd pray in your will, but then we would do your will and therefore understand more and more and more of it. And help us when we reach these crossroads where we don't know how to pray, Lord, that you would be that intercession for us, and Lord, that you'd answer the prayers according to your will. Father, we thank you for all that you do. We pray again for all these requests that were brought tonight. We know that, Lord, even tomorrow, Brother Steve will head back down to Casper, another treatment. Pray you give him strength there. And we do pray that you would be with Brother Wayne as he's going to be traveling back later this week. Just give him safety as well. Be with Miss Bodie now as she's recovering from this procedure. We pray you give her more and more strength each day. Lord, we do pray also for John that you'd be with him this weekend as Lord, he maybe begins some of that those treatments, but also just spiritually work on his heart and Lord, help him to understand and accept you, Father. Lord, there's so many others we could pray for and that were mentioned tonight. We do think of them also, and we pray you would be with each one as we've said tonight, according to your will. Lord, we love you. We pray that you dismiss us with your love tonight. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.